Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 286.
What are you dancing for?
I don't know. Wanted to dance.
Go with Dijkstra.
Don't question my motives. I can dance.
Coming down like a motherfucking hurricane. Go with Dijkstra. Your heart and your penis will never be the same.
Whoa, what?
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 Well, that's just the song.
Wait, what song? What is that song? I've never heard that song
before. Oh, it's an old song from the 80s. I think it was like White Lion or Winger or someone.
From the 80s?
Glow and Dijkstra. A father won a war for Star Wars movie.
Whoa, crazy.
Yeah.
This is really specific.
Yeah.
It's such a weird coincidence.
No, it's just a song that happened.
It sounds like it's my life. It sounds like it's based, but it couldn't be.
No.
I'm Chris Hardwick pretending to be an 80s singer, and I'm sitting with Chloe
Dijkstra. Whoa, this song is ridiculously
coincidental.
Yeah, oh,
that's
okay.
The bridge.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm just sorry.
Chloe's just excited because she had a picture make the front page of Reddit.
Okay, well, tell the story.
No, I don't want to tell the story.
I posted something on Reddit, and it was getting no love, and then I came home after 2 hours, and it's front page. Crazy.
Every once in a while... Chloe Dijkstra.
I do something funny.
every once in a while, a lady comes to clean your apartment. A Latino lady. Chloe has an exclamation point pillow. Chloe came home to a perfectly cleaned apartment and the exclamation pillow upside down. Like the beginning of a really intense couch sentence. Fun times. More fun times if you come on the road. When I'll be performing in Nashville and Chicago in the beginning of December, in the middle of December at Zany's, I think Chloe Dijkstra will probably be there hanging out.
Probably.
Saying hi to the nerds.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Samsung for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. The Galaxy Note 2 has... three fantastic features that you may not be aware of. Sharing capability, the S Beam feature. You can tap the back of another S Beam enabled device to share large files in seconds. Seconds! And with the Share Shot feature, you can share 8 megapixel pictures taken with the Galaxy with other phones up to 200 feet away. Then there's the S Pen, which basically makes the phone like a notepad. It is a styli, if you will, in nature. And it's got a 5.5-inch screen, which is perfectly shaped for the 16:9 aspect ratio widescreen film. So, the Galaxy Note 2, it's like a phone, it's like a tablet. It's sort of the best of both worlds. So, check it out, and thanks to Samsung for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which, by the way, our guest was the return of Dave Attell. Dave Attell is a comedy legend, and Dave can come be on the show whenever the fuck he wants to, and he happened to be in town, so we had him on again. His show, Dave's Old Porn, is in its second season on Showtime, and there's going to be a great Thanksgiving-themed episode. If you listen to this before Thanksgiving, it's Thursday nights at 11 on Showtime, so please check out Dave's Old Porn and watch Dave Attell. If you ever get a chance to see him live, you absolutely should. Dave is one of those guys that not only do audiences love him, but he is a comic that other comics will come in the room to watch, to go out of their way, and we're fucking snobs about comedy. Actually, I'm not really a comedy snob personally. I just like comedy. As a matter of fact, in the background right now, I paused Moshe Kasher's special, which Chloe and I just saw on Netflix. So I'm surrounded by, I'm in a sea of comedy right now. But this episode.
Also, I'm hilarious.
This episode of the Nerdist. Look over there, that upside down exclamation point. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is number 286, The Return of Dave Attell.
Yeah.
Good ad.
What? Good ad, yeah.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Airport.
Well,
Pearson, airport is never really a place to be trapped.
Well, you haven't been.
No, maybe you didn't see the terminal.
Did. I was there for a while.
You were there for the shooting of
Jonah at the terminal. Why? What? You left your passport when you were in Toronto. I had no idea this happened.
Yeah. Well, I got back to my hotel room, my rental apartment.
Your rental apartment.
My daily rental apartment. And I put out everything I needed for the next day.
Your borrow apartment.
Yeah. And then everything was packed and ready to go, and I left my passport out, like, next to my phone, thinking that I would just grab everything. I grabbed everything but that.
Hmm.
Yeah, because there's nothing.
Here, move Dave's mic closer to him. I started recording. I know it doesn't seem like it.
Are we going?
Yeah. Yeah, I already hit record.
I know you guys have a big show after this, so.
No, Dave, we're focused on you right now. Well, you are the big show of the moment. But we are very excited about Mel Brooks. I don't think those headphones
would. I would, if I didn't have to fly out, I would love to come and just be a fly on the wall. Or more importantly, a fly in the cream cheese.
You could be a fly in the cream cheese.
Gonna be schmear. Are any of you Jews really going to be out-Jewed?
We're way out-Jewed. Even if we were Jews, we would be out-Jewed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got to bring at least one, member of the tribe.
Am I crazy? Did he not convert to Catholicism for Anne Bancroft?
No, to Muslim. He's a Muslim.
Yeah.
Hey, my headphones aren't working or I had
none of them work.
What's going
on? No. Well, both actually. You're in ICU and in a second you're going to come too.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're part of your dream.
I'm outside of my mortgage.
We're your guides. I'm the ghost of comedy present.
Oh god.
I'm the ghost of food?
You're supposed to be a comedy ghost.
I'm the ghost of comedy future, which means unemployed.
That is not true.
Just with a YouTube channel.
You were just you were in San Diego.
I was in San Diego.
What
is San Diego's like? What is it like? Sac Town? Like, what do they call it? You know,
Old Town,
Comic Con Land,
Dig Jaeger.
No, it's just an area.
Home of the Crystal Cathedral
of Crystal Meth.
Home of, right. Oh, I'm sorry, I got
Tunnel
that.
Tunnel City,
yeah.
As we call it in Mexico.
Yep, that's right. That's we call it in Mexico.
Yeah, you know, I kept trying to work the Mexican reference down there. It wasn't really hitting.
Which clubs are they doing?
Madhouse Comedy Club.
Madhouse.
Excellent club. Check it out. It's on top of the mall. It's excellent. Right near the Nordstrom's.
Excellent. Excellent.
You perform there, you get a $10 discount card.
Yeah, exactly. And they're big news. Taco Bell's coming there in December. So.
Oh, good.
So they need in San Diego.
I'm going to get in line now because anytime a new fast food place opens up anywhere, exactly. Get in line.
Well, I know it's so hard to find good Mexican food in San Diego. So
yeah.
So thank God Taco Bell's fine. Yeah.
It really is, though, because we were looking around for it for hours.
But I used to throw a rock, make them turn around.
I used to really enjoy the double-decker taco when I was...
Wasn't that good?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a hard taco, and then they smeared beans on a soft shell and then just... Yeah. Pinched it around.
I used to like that a lot too last night.
Wow.
Well, now I have the Crunchwrap Supreme, which is essentially a flat hard shell taco, all that shit, and then it's wrapped in a tortilla like when they would put a
bread. Isn't that just a tortilla over a Mexican pizza?
I don't know.
Mexican pizza also sounds like a sex move.
All I know is it's a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Either way,
and you throw it in and you deep fry it, and then it's a funnel pizza.
That's true.
That would be delicious.
They're excellent because they're constantly thinking of new ways to use the same three things that they use, like we just discussed.
Yeah,
not like
like Green Day cords.
Well, no, they upped the ante with the Dorito shell. You know, you can get a taco shell that's made out of Dorito.
If by upping the ante, do you mean
upping the heart attack risk for America?
Well, here's a good topic that we can start out with.
Let's do it.
Twinkies and Hostess have gone under, which is almost amazing in this country that any kind of sweet snack thing would ever be like not, you know. And the reason why it happened was there was a problem with the bakers. And I didn't know I thought they had elves or hobbit type people.
I thought it was robots that basically pooped out. They would feed the robot all the ingredients and it would just shit out of the Twinkie. Yeah,
exactly.
That's an idea. But No, I can't believe that's gone. And I know as a child growing up, you know, as a carnival child, that was like fruits and vegetables to us. So,
yeah. No, ho-hos for me was a snack quite often had.
Yeah.
Zingers.
Oh, Zingers are great.
Yeah, just the pies.
I'm going to miss the name. Hostess pies the most.
I think chocodiles for me, well, I always thought were a good idea. Chocodile was basically a chocolate-covered Twinkie.
Yeah.
And then I'd get halfway through, and then I'd remember, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to throw up now, because it's so much sugar at
it
once.
What was it called?
A chocodile.
Chocodile. Yeah. That is the most racist
snack
I've ever heard
of. I don't like crocodiles. Why? I just don't think crocodiles
It's a chocolate-covered Twinkie. An urban Twinkie.
That just sounds like racist towards white people.
Oh, okay, well, like, either way.
You know,
hey, Chocodile.
I thought you guys, that Twinkie would not vote for, you know, Obama.
That Twinkie would vote for Roseanne.
Republicans were surprised at the amount of Chocodiles that voted this time.
Well, exactly. Even
all those Chocodiles got gifts.
They had a plan to save Hostess, but, you know, of course, they didn't bullet point it out for us, but... I think that is a sad end.
No government bailout for the Hostess company. But
exactly.
The weirdest thing, or the most awful thing, was if the story. I went the website that I went to, the news site that I went to see the story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of the comments were the most abrasive, like all caps. Oh, you're not going to be able to find Twinkies anymore, you fat fucking fucks. Fuck you, America.
Oh,
like, it was all of that. Just comment after comment of fuck you, you fat piece of shit, America. Yeah. So, like, because every once in a while, someone will be like, where am I going to get Twinkies now? And someone else will be like, fuck you. Oh, there's not enough fucking food for you to eat in this fat fucking country. Like, it was so.
Had these people never been sad? Had these people never gone through a breakup or had a rough time with a girl where the only thing that makes you feel a little bit better is a fucking ding dong?
Yeah. Comfort food.
Well,
I believe
for a girl, like, that's how
they
get
over. Yeah, ho-hos for guys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, nice. Jonah, well played.
Where's all this?
That's not going to get all the credit it deserves, and I just want to stop and give that the credit.
Why wouldn't it get the credit it deserves?
Because that joke was produced by Hostess.
Going to get the credit it needs.
But who owns the copyright to that Twinkie, that bicurious Twinkie that we all kind of grew up with? Kind of winking, like, hey, want to twink it out?
Yeah.
Twinks. I'm up for some twinks.
They really sailed it home when they had a banana-flavored Twinkie.
And
he was extra happy on that.
I got a gargle after that one.
Have you been on eBay to see the prices of the Twinkies?
What are they up to now?
I saw one going for $10,000.
Wow. You've got to fucking be kidding me.
It's by everyone I see on Instagram. Everyone's just posting, like the stores haven't even taken the boxes off yet. There's just empty boxes of Hostess. Like, donuts are gone.
Donuts?
Oh, donuts.
Shit. Oh, I love them. I grew up dancing to them.
Remember when Archie Bell left?
Yeah. Oh, that was horrible.
What is 7-Eleven?
I was growing up the group.
Half of 7-Eleven is going to be empty. Like,
yeah, really.
What are they going to put in there now?
7-Eleven is starting to do kind of like a Trader Joe's thing where they have their own brand foods and snacks and stuff like that. And... I'm just gonna say it. The fucking Snickerdoodle cookie from 7-Eleven is one of the best cookies I've ever had.
Never experienced.
But 7-Eleven, you get the charm, of course, of like a kind of morning kind of feel with ex-convicts. Don't you always feel like this is like, you know, like people on a work release kind of coffee pots never ending and.
Yeah, they're just the burnt coffee.
The 7-Eleven in my neighborhood now has Amazon lockers. The whole back wall is an Amazon locker, so you essentially can send your Amazon packages to the Amazon locker.
And pick them up.
And then you get a code, and then you punch in the code, and your door opens.
Oh, so it's like a P.O. box.
Yeah.
Like a temporary P.O. box for Amazon.
What's wrong with sending it to your home?
I don't know.
Well, if you're going to get like...
You're asking the wrong people. We're not using Amazon lockers.
I know, but...
Snuff porn, I guess you don't want to deliver it to your house. You want to go to 7-Eleven, pick up some snippadoodles, and go home and... Break a law.
Then pick up a cheeseburger at 7-Eleven and fuck it because you can't eat those.
They do have a lot of food that really just is on the borderline of why. What is that?
They have the cheeseburger hot dog, which is essentially a hamburger wrapped with cheese in the middle and it's in the shape of a hot dog.
It's when you need the most calories and fat for the least amount of money to simply survive another day.
Yeah. It is
I was talking to Kanane and he was saying like that he got a full pizza from
them
once.
Do it in Kanane voice.
I got a full pizza from 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven? You get a full pizza there. You got to get the individual slices.
I was sitting there saying, where am I going to find the Twinkie? I'm going to go to eBay.
It's weird when you see like kids getting off of school and then going to 7-Eleven and just getting a full huge Slurpee and a pizza or a taquito and they're just eating like entire sugary horrible meals.
Yes, we have a problem.
No, but those kids.
But those kids are skinny.
Yeah, they're young. Well, it's their time.
But they're gonna hit. But as soon as they hit 25,
They're going to lose a leg to diabetes.
You know what I used to do? When I would go 7-Eleven after school, I would go get like a large Slurpee. But like before I fill it up, I'd get the cup and then I would go through the candy aisle and I would just drop a bunch of stuff into the cup, then fill up the cup with Slurpee.
Cool.
Buy just a Slurpee, take down the Slurpee, and then all of a sudden I have all these candy bars.
Wow.
That are soaked.
So no, they're not soaked. They're in wrappers.
So that is a very innovative shoplifting.
Perfect crime.
Do you think I took them out of the wrappers and put them into
the... Yeah, I didn't really know what was happening.
No, I went through the candy aisle, put the candy bars into the cup, and then filled the cup up with Slurpee.
All right.
If you've been eating candy bars that haven't been wrapped, I am very scared for your
and
safety.
And that's when you became a drug mule.
Well, I was just thinking of those, like, you know, weigh candy by the pound situations. That's what
that happens
imagining.
At 7-Elevens all across the country?
I don't know.
I think they should do on Halloween. On Halloween, they should dress up to 7-Eleven and it's spooky stuff. And then they should charge like an admission, like a club for kids. And they can just go in and like fill their little, you know, tummies full of all that great candy and get a nice cup of coffee and get out.
The last three times I went to 7-Eleven and I grabbed a coffee, I had to use the Romney cup. It was all that was left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because they had the 7-Election. Oh. Obama cups and Romney cups. It's like, you decide.
Yeah.
Political 7-Eleven.
Romney cups.
Hold on to that cup, you know.
Are they heat sensitive? Like, the, like are they one of those cups that change?
Do they feel at all?
You have to put cream in them.
Yeah.
Lots of cream.
Only cream. And just a splash of Mexican spice.
The only cream that would go. Cinnamon on top.
Yeah.
It wasn't half and half. It was 47%, 60%.
And you put it in the microwave, and then the Mitt Romney on the cup just goes, I can't feel a thing. My skin is polysynthetic material.
Well,
I won't age.
I think the Hostess thing is dead, and Tasty Cake will step up because that stuff is great.
Tasty cakes are good.
Yeah.
Philadelphia area, you know, the Philly, I guess it's the Wawa area of the country, like the Philly, Jersey, Maryland, where they have these amazing delis where you can go and get a sandwich, you know, like just pretty much it's high end.
Gasoline.
Gasoline. Yeah, it's like one stop shop.
What's the stuff more east of that? Is it Sheetz? Those are great.
Sheetz?
Sheetz.
Is that some clan-based?
Well, it's in Western Pennsylvania, so it could possibly be.
I don't know. I've never heard of that. And I've pretty much been everywhere.
Sheetz, it's great, yeah. I've seen them in Western Pennsylvania and Harrisburg and stuff like that, where you go and it's just mainly just computer screens and you can just get anything you want made and you can add in anything you want.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, but it's just like one of those deli gas station 7-Eleven things.
Guys, now's the time when we need to be creating Hostess snack knockoffs like Myra Cakes or Adelkies or Jonah Pies.
Jonah Pies.
I like that.
Yeah. Should we do this?
Sounds disappointing.
Should we do that? No, well, probably not, Chris.
We'll put little glasses on the cake and
well, the Twinkie,
not shave
which
it.
Is really, I guess, what is it? It's not in the cake family. It's like a unicorn.
It's something else.
What is that?
Yeah.
That's from Blade.
It's weird.
It's, it's.
All
angel food. It's like a weird angel food cake.
Like a sort of a thicker angel food cake and some vanilla, whatever the fuck.
All I know is that half of it sticks to the package when you open it up.
Yep. So yeah, you got to.
Evidently, there was some problem at the Twinkie factory. They never figured it out. Yeah, you know, kind of like what,
but cupcakes pop right out of their
shell. They're great.
Yeah.
And that little swirl on the top makes it classy.
I used the Sprinkles ATM machine this weekend.
What?
Sprinkles Cupcakes has an ATM machine.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yeah, you go in and you pick your cupcake and the vacuum thing takes it and then.
Where were you in the future or Japan?
Well, they had.
Where do they do this?
Beverly Hills.
Sprinkles.
All the time, dude.
Fucking slow burn on that.
Talking about food.
That's, I think, the whole idea, I think it'd be fun to buy find a box of Twinkies somewhere.
Yeah.
And then just go to the middle of like the Mall of America and then just start crumpling them up and then just stomping them on the ground. And then see if people get on the ground and like, no! Like scooping them into
that stench, that sweet, horrible stench.
Or putting them on hot air balloons and just let them float around the country and like, you know, like messages to fat people.
Yeah.
And they land, oh, thank you. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an inspiration thing where it's like a bunch of Twinkies inside a hot air balloon. It says, like, reach for the stars, you know.
Oh, that would be excellent. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And then, you know, every other balloon would have, like, a piece of fruit, and the kid would be like, oh.
That'd be kind of fun for a game show to, like, instead of, like, to give away, like, 10,000 Twinkies instead of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're waiting Twinkies. I like it.
Oh, I'll take it.
But I think the cupcake, are we going to keep talking about this? But the cupcake, since there is a cupcake war going on, it's kind of, there's really, who can pick sides in this incredible issue? But,
I don't know how Justin Willman stays neutral.
I've thrown my allegiance under Red Velvet.
That is the cupcake of choice.
Yeah, that is.
Honestly.
They do knock you when you make a Red Velvet on Cupcake Wars.
But some people are allergic to the red dye in the red velvet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen Blue Velvet cupcakes, too. They make the blue ones.
Yeah, Blue Velvet over at, they have that on Milk on 3rd or Beverly or something like that.
Yeah.
You eat a slice of that, your shit's green.
The Blue Velvet cupcake, Patricia Arquette tries to kill you.
You wash down your Blue Velvet with a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Nice. That's what they do at the end of the shit at the cupcake factory.
That's right.
Yes.
Those are some good cupcaking.
And then you poop out Willem Dafoe. It's a very weird bowl.
I once got a box of Captain Crunch Oops All Berries.
I remember Oops All Berries,
and that will turn your poop.
That sounds like some sort of berry creature just accidentally came into a box. Like, oops. Sorry, it's all berries.
One's all berries.
I feel like
sorry.
Captain Crunch would be would be more angry, I think, Captain Crunch, than oops.
Oh, fuck, I'm sorry, it's all berries.
Can you just eat one? I mean, can you just eat one cupcake? Probably not.
No, that's what those little mini cupcakes are great for.
In the bag? The ones that come in a bag?
No, like just the ones
orphans of the real cupcake?
Yeah.
What about us? Let's talk about your show, though.
Okay.
Did we do that last time?
We did, but Dave, listen.
Season two, guys.
Season dose.
Dose. Here we go.
Even Davier.
We are one season away from a DVD. Go ahead.
Oh, we're doing it.
Could you do that?
What?
Could you put out a DVD?
I wish. I'll tell you, I have so much great footage that never makes it on the air, like so many great scenes, so many great comments that I'd love to do it because, it's only about like 25, 28 minutes. And, we try and keep it tight, keep it moving, you know what I'm saying? So that people never, ever really think they're watching porn, you know, just like,
so it doesn't get half hard,
we move on to the next dick joke, you know?
Yeah, because of that thing that happens whenever guy is like, it's like, Bob in a porn, you're younger, and everyone, like a guy pops in a porn, and you're like, this is great. And then there's just that lull where you're like, I'm just with a bunch of guys watching porn.
Yeah, cock block.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. But yeah, I would love to do that, and I also would like to repurpose it into many other different things. You know, I'm trying to sell t-shirts now, which I think I don't know if that's the way to go with porn, but
t-shirt cum rag.
Exactly, cum rag would be way better. You have like really amazingly good ideas. The cum rag, the whatchamacallit, like like a NASCAR, like when they endorse stuff, it's like the endorsed cum rag.
Yes,
this will pick up more cum than the usual cum rag.
Dave's old cum rag is exactly what you say on it,
and then we'll do like one of those like late night commercials. Look at it. Yeah, we won't use real cum, you know.
Dave, are you telling me I can unload all the jizz from my balls into this t-shirt?
And you also get the, oh my God, I didn't think that would happen, goggles. So I never knew I could shoot that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's been a couple of days.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Hard load goggle.
It really does pack like a musket. I'm going to move on. Okay.
The new shows are coming out. So far we've had the lovely Kathy Griffin with the amazing Tom Byron, just a legend of porn, and Kathy was so quick and good. So
I remember Tom Byron. I mean, I can't remember picture his face, but I remember his name. I remember the name Tom Byron.
I can't picture his face, but I can remember his head.
Yeah.
I remember his sack. And he's great. He's super cool dude. And then last week was Joe Rogan and Ginger Lynn. Now, you know who Ginger Lynn is.
Of course,
80s
yeah.
icon, super hot, super cool.
I was, around like in the mid-90s, I just started working at MTV, and I did a celebrity bowling tournament, and Ginger Lynn was on the team that I was bowling on. And she was so awesome and cool. Mm-hmm. And so we traded information. And so I told my girlfriend, like, hey, I met Ginger Lynn, and she and her boyfriend, like, want to hang out with us. And my girlfriend at the time was like, I'm not hanging out with a porn star. And I was like, aw.
What?
Yeah, so then I never hung out.
That's why you're not girlfriend. Together anymore.
That was why we're not.
So either way.
Oh, no. I put up with her shit for a couple more.
There you go. Yeah,
for a little while.
Either way, she's great. And, like, some of her stuff is just amazingly cool. It's, like, all, like, 80s. Like, there's some film, but there's also some of that really really, really cheesy video, like that just started in the 80s. And your fan base would definitely know this, that, like, you know, everybody thinks, like, video was like it is now. Like, camera, you know, whatever, high def, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't. Like, for a while there, it really did look like, what was that?
It looked like closed-circuit television.
Yeah, it was like looking at a puddle with a light in it, and it was like, is that an image?
They blew everything out with colors. They blew everything out with colors, like really bright colors.
But they backed it up with some amazing Casio music. I always thought that was really good. Because that was like when they were down to like one guy with a drum machine.
Yep.
It was like, what the fuck? Porn. It's never going to go out of style. We don't care.
And then you had to go to a store to buy it.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The old
now,
days.
You know, some of the shows that we got coming up, both kind of skewer the 80s and also the 70s. Like this week, since it is, I don't know if this is airing this week, is it?
No.
Okay. Well, let's say this is a retrospective look back on the season. I know you got that Mel Brooks two-parter coming up.
He's going to talk about the same thing.
Exactly. You know, we're doing a Thanksgiving Day special, of course, with Amy Schumer and the classic movie. I think it's a holiday classic, Debbie Does Dallas.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
I think, I don't know who didn't watch that after a heavy meal.
I think there was a Dr. Hardwick in that movie. I think so. I think one of
you're
the characters.
You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely. Wow, that's right.
Yep.
It's, everyone had these cool, like.
That was my dad.
Dr. Hardwick ran the candle shop.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Do you have you had Nina Hartley on yet?
Nina was on the first season with Bill Burr.
She's right? Really interesting because she
very cool.
She really she makes all these instructional videos.
Yeah,
which
she's a sex therapist too.
She is a sex therapist
and a registered nurse. So she's done. I'm sorry. I think I broke your headphones.
I don't care.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. Either way. Yeah, Nina is very cool, and a lot of the older stars have gone on to like cool careers of like directing, producing, composing, all that kind of stuff, and they're all starting to write books now too. So I think that's great. Just like when people are not buying books.
Now, are you having any younger adult stars on, like your Dana D'Armand's, for instance, or
wow.
Your April O'Neil's?
Another good. Those are more the 90s people, basically, right?
No. Dana's like a now person.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
And April. April's
show.
They're young.
Dave's old porn.
Yeah, but to
no,
have
but
like,
we do have some of the adult stars of today. This season will end it hard. Joanna Angel will be on.
Oh, sure, I know her. I met her on the Fitzsimmons show. She's really nice.
She's so cool. And she's on the horror episode with Rob Zombie and Judah Friedlander. So
that's great.
Yeah, there you go. It's called the theme show, guys. Repackaging.
I think it's interesting that there is this sort of huge kind of nerd crossover with porn, like a lot of young nerd girls like just are love like porn, and they go into porn and people are like, yeah, that are they just pretending? I'm like, no, it makes perfect sense. You know, in high school they felt outcast, they didn't have their group, they were super nerdy, and they found this thing that empowered them, and then they did it. You know, like I to me the crossover makes a ton of sense. If I had a huge dong and a mustache, I would have gone into porn.
Same.
After high school.
You only need one of those things. The mustache.
Shit.
Well, yeah, like the younger ones, like we have Asa Akira, Jesse Jane, Caden Cross, and Shawn Michaels, who was probably a living legend in, both from the, I guess you could say like the 90s to now. I mean, he's done like so many great films. And, I think the cool thing about the young ones and like what I get from them is that even the older stars and the young ones, they all live in the moment. And I think that's really cool because they live in the moment. They're like really like sexual people and like they express themselves. I think a lot of other people, like, you know, everybody has like their, you know, problems and misconceptions, you know, all that kind of stuff, but they just do it and it's cool. It's like kind of like, with comedy, like we just do comedy, you know, it's like you go on stage, it's like, whoa, you know, why did I say that? Whatever, yeah. You know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of cool. That's their expressive.
Sometimes thing. When I'm on stage, I feel like I'm taking my dick out and showing it to everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that's the only way.
Is there, but let me ask you this though, but have you at all? I mean, I know that there are some people who, you know, can have a healthy view of porn as a career, but then other people. Are some people, do you feel just like, oh, they didn't do so well with that?
Earlier? Oh, you mean the porn stars?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a million train wrecks and, like, just horrible, you know, ends and all that kind of stuff. But this show is not really like a biopic documentary, you know, like, you know, one of those kind of shows, the dark side of whatever. And that there's definitely room for that. This is more of a party tribute show to the
sure.
girls and guys who do it. But we do like to do the shout out, especially to the gone but not forgotten people who there's no way like today's people like would know the Jamie Gillises or the Lisa DeLue or any of these people who are like super hot, really, really big in the porn industry. Because back in the 70s and 80s, it was maybe like 50 people who did it. Now there's maybe like 500, you know.
Sure.
And I think actually more people exist now that have fucked on camera than other
exactly.
actual people.
Well, with global warming.
Well, I thought it was interesting that in California, in Los Angeles, was it a city bill or was it a state?
State.
to try to regulate or force condoms
to leave.
Condoms, dental dams, there was a ton of stuff.
And also it had something to do with reporting test results or
right, yeah. They have to show their results and all that kind of stuff. The industry is very regulated. That's one of the many new things. They were regulated before. I'm not going to speak for the industry or anything like that. It does make some of the, like, there's a lot of side things that, like, webcam shows, like you and your wife or girlfriend want to do a webcam show. Now, legally, you have to use protection, even though you're married and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of gray area to it that, you know, can help or hurt the business. But I think everybody's for protection. The only problem is it's not a universal law. It's like Euro porn, you know, Asian porn is going to come in and kind of swamp our porn, you know, since they don't have anything like that. So,
well, the Japanese still have the pixelation problem.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you're pro-America, then that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I just thought all of their genitals just looked cloudier than ours.
Is that why all the girls look terrified?
Is that why they all
sound
terrified?
They just have pixel snatch. Yeah. Well, what's the problem?
I've never seen it.
Either way, guys, the point is it works. Porn works whatever way you're going to do it, whether it's on your phone or on your, you know, just computer screen right before you get fired. I think it's great. And
wait, I'm listening.
Yeah. But I like the retro stuff, so it's a different time.
Wait, I'm listening.
But here's the thing. I mean, you know, you guys are dudes. Do you enjoy, you know, watching the porn with some silly commentary? I mean, probably not.
I wouldn't, but I enjoy, I feel like what you do sort of makes it okay. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not creepy to just sit and watch a show about porn if you're a dude alone. Like, with you as the guide, it sort of makes it like, oh, it's everyone's fucking around. It's Dave.
Yeah, it's not that. It is
funny.
I take
really
some
funny.
Of the stink off of it, but I think the best part is when the legend comes out, because it's always fun to riff with a comic, especially when I bring on the ladies. You know, we had like Chelsea Handler and Amy Schumer, I said, Lisa Lampanelli and Kathy Griffin, and it's cool to get their perspective on it. I said that last time I was on the cast. I hate to recast that, but
that's all right.
It's true. It's like, it's really cool to see women's perspective on porn, and I think you're right. A lot of these girls who are like, you know, kind of nerdish, see porn and they're like, wow, this is kind of cool and, you know, interesting, and it's not as whatever degrading as we've all been saying. I find I'm the only one degraded by watching it. I'm covered in filth.
Well, I just know that from knowing April and Dana, and it's like, I don't know. It really just feels like, oh, that's their job. You know, that's what they're just totally sweet, normal. Like, you. It's fine. They're fine.
The real job is the husband of the porn star.
Yeah.
That is really the job.
I mean, I never understood.
Yeah.
That's a tough, I mean, that is a whole other, like, to be able to compartmentalize that much where you go, well, it's like if she worked in a bank, but she's the bank and people are making deposits. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's how they explain it to the
kids. That's how they explain
they're
it to the
deposits.
Kids.
That'd be like throwing money at the bank.
Honey, you know how we go to the bank sometimes
to
deposit money?
To get it more subtle than that, yeah.
Well, there were a lot of customers today.
Yeah.
It was a really long line.
I watched, there was an interview
Mommy is regulated by the FDIC.
The other day of an interview with
the
husband and wife, and the husband does gay porn.
Yep.
And the wife is like, okay with it.
Sure.
And is convinced that he's not gay when he's clearly
gay for pay, as we call it.
Gay for pay. And he's like, and every time I leave the house, I put my wedding ring on the key rack and I leave and then I go shoot.
Maybe he's just bi. Maybe he's bi.
Wow.
That's possible.
No, he insists he's 100% straight.
Really?
Wow. Hey, that's the guy to buy a Bible.
do you find it when you're having comics come in and do the stuff, are you having trouble kind of keeping them doing jokes that all the other comics haven't done? Has there been an issue with that? Like, you know, we kind of already, we do that joke every time or, because
no,
it's gotta be a...
I mean, I guess the recurring theme is always the hairiness of the retro porn. But other than that, I mean, it's kind of a free-flowing thing. And I'm pretty, you know, if you know my comedy act, it's like, I'm like a real, like, fanatic about, like, new material and definitely trying not to step on other people's material. So, like, when people come in, I don't want them to really do jokes. It's more conversational. I will hack it out with a couple of, like, jokes that just from my act or, like, stuff I can think of.
Just to kind of have some laugh moments.
Yeah, but, like, if I bring on, like, Griffith Simmons, who's, like, a real buddy of mine, like, we'll go toe-to-toe, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it really is, like, the more organic it is, the better. But it's not supposed to be kind of like a pop-up, you know, like, and that's what she said, you know, like one of those kind of pop-up.
But just like I guess I meant more like thematic, like funny conversations. Like, do you find like, you know, like you had like a similar, like, it's like, oh, yes, they are hairy. you know.
Kinda. Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, the whole idea is like trying to find the new hairy box.
Yeah,
you
yes.
know, it's like the, you know, the whatchamacallit, the golden grail.
You got to try and bust that nut.
Spoon joke.
Yeah.
But we have some really cool clips, and I think they really do stimulate the conversation. You know, a lot of it, we show it like fast forward, we show it back and forward. And most of the guests, either they know porn or like they've never seen it. And either way, but I guess because they're comics, they can roll with it. And I love that. I love the fact that they can do it. And I've also brought in people who are not comics, just really fun people like Adrian Curry.
Oh.
Andy Dick, who is a comic and an actor and everything else you can think of, he came in and we did this kind of retro orgy gangbang party with the young porn stars. And it was a lot of fun, you know, especially since Andy has a whole different perspective on porn, you know, because he's a little up for anything. And Adrian is like a dude's chick. And she like is just like, you know, this is boring. I mean, what the fuck is this? You know, who could get hard to that? And it was cool because everybody really does have their kind of like take on porn, you know.
I find it hard to believe that any that you have had comics on who have not really seen porn.
You'd be really surprised.
Really,
a lot of them.
You're on the road. You're alone.
You think so, but a lot of them, I guess, hit that gym in that comfort inn more than we know.
Well, there's time to do both. Well, oh, I mean, I just go to the gym. What? Yeah,
I don't know. I guess some of them, find it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to say porn has saved my life. So I don't see why it wouldn't, you know, why some people would have any problem with it. But, you know, I always knew the girl in the porn, you know, especially like you get like a Christy Canyon in there who's so beautiful. Like I had a crush on her and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, you know, she's not thinking of you when she's banging that guy. But in your other heart, in your pants, you're like hoping she is.
Yeah.
But you know, now it's cool when you meet them later on, you realize how cool they are and how like there really was a lot of work to it. You know, there really was more work than we all thought. Like it's not like a party where they're all like getting wasted and, you know, just fuck it. It's like they had to be there on time, wait for the right light. You know, there was like, oh, cut. You know, we got to put up a different thing there. Make sure the boom is in the shot for some reason. That's a porn given. Got to have the boom in there.
Well, also, like, they had to, like, be physically, like, they had to be in great shape.
Absolutely.
Because they had to look good. They couldn't be partying because then they would look, you know, clammy and gross.
Not so true. I mean, like, not for the old stuff. They looked really normal. Like, really normal. Like,
okay.
Where you're like, how did she get in there? Must have been personality day at the orgy.
Well, you know? But a lot of the dudes, you're like, how did they get in there?
Well, like, that's just like a guy with a big dick that can keep it up.
That's true. Yeah. A lot of the guys back then, before the Viagra, it really was like natural talent. Now, you know, because of, you know, juicing and dosing and all that kind of stuff, they can, pretty much anybody can get it up. But it's like, do they have the intensity?
To keep it
going.
Do they
have the power, you know? But, yeah, the women, though, there's a lot of hot ones, and there was a lot of plan Bs and Cs, and, you know, who was that? I mean, really, did she drive?
Do you ever see them, Ecstasy Girls? That's an old 70s one that
I'll have to find that. I probably have that, like, I get, like, you know, a ton of, like, retro porn.
Yeah.
So it's like, watching it all, like, you do get, like, a weird headache from watching a lot of retro porn, you know, because it is filthy, disgusting, and the stories are so long. I mean, like, really, like, lots of talking.
Our modern eyes were not meant to look at that film quality with those colors for too long.
It's crazy. And then, for some reason, it'll be, like, a band will start playing. Like, it's just, like, somebody's friend's band showed up, and they start playing. So. You know, I'm waiting for the one where I find Manson. Like, you know, Manson's in there.
He must have been. Yeah.
He just must have him and the girls, like, hanging out.
He's with Danny Wilson.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's cool. Like, we have one. I'm trying to think the one that was really cool in Ginger's movie. We had her first, you know, scene ever. And it was on a tropical island in Hawaii. And it was cool because it was like, this is your first scene. So it's like, wow. You know, you can see her going from, like, you know, like, girl who just wanted to be a model to porn star.
Yeah.
And it was excellent. Then we followed her through, like, kind of like all the different, like, you know, turns and twists on her thing. But I could have showed hours and hours more of her stuff because she's just got, like, so many amazing tapes. I mean, every guy has, like, a favorite porn tape, right? Don't you have, like, a first love of porn?
I don't remember what, when I was younger, I don't remember what it was. I honestly don't remember what it was.
Taboo 2.
That's a great one. That's what I had, Taboo, too.
Raven.
Yeah.
It was super hot. Oh, wow. She's great. I want to get her on the show.
A friend of mine had like a collection of Tracy Lords' stuff, but then.
That's illegal, son.
He got rid of it
yeah.
after he found out that And I'm not the he in this, so don't look at me like
she's,
that.
She was
but
underage.
It turned out she was underage, and so he got freaked out.
You know,
and
there's
got
gonna
rid
be kids now though that are gonna look back and go like it's like they're not gonna have a favorite movie, they're gonna have a favorite clip, like an online
sure.
video.
True.
Yeah. You know.
I think porn will eventually be erased with just some kind of easy like app of just like something like just a like quick like just sensory images like bang
yeah,
bang,
just,
bang bang.
It's gonna
bang,
be a sequence
bang.
Of colors
and then
flashes.
Like, you don't even have time to like for setup like it's yeah. just like a wet spot in your pants. And yeah, you're done, you know.
I can't believe that I can't remember like what one VHS tape was basically my buddy through high school. I must have had one. I fucking can't remember
was
what
it was.
Was
it My Buddy Doll?
It was a My Buddy Doll.
Was it My Little Tony?
It was My Little Tony. That's so funny you said that. That's really weird that you said that.
Why? What happened?
I did a podcast a few weeks ago, and I was talking to a guy who was a My Little Pony fan, but also a Sopranos fan, and I said, oh, My Little Tony.
Wow.
It's just weird to hear those that combination of words together.
I apologize.
No. I didn't know.
I don't want to do anybody.
No.
Yeah,
I was just going to say.
What happened? Oh, Dave, are you okay?
I dropped my cigarettes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Quick, stop the podcast.
All right. I'm back.
Okay, you're all right. You're all right.
So anyway.
How much are you on the road right now?
I'm going to get back on the road to get my act better because, you know, I edited for like 10 months, 8 months or something like that. And, you know, I did sets, like, especially at the Comedy Cellar, you know, like in New yeah. York where we do our do there. But I really am glad to be back on the road. I want to tighten up my act. I want to get new material. And then, like, you know, I miss it. You know, I miss doing it.
It's
and
been a
I'm
while
broke,
since...
and I have to make money. So
it's been a while since Captain Miserable, huh?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Was that 2007
now.
Or 8?
Exactly. I think it was, like, when was it?
I think 2000.
Was there a white president then?
Probably. I think it was 2000. I think it was like early 2008.
Okay, so yeah, so I definitely want to do another special, but I think my stuff is kind of outdated. So I don't know if I can be like the new comics or anything like that, but I just want to be the best I can be at what I do, and
that's
then,
so funny. It's
and
so
then
funny.
Kind of disappear.
It's so weird to me that you are
what a downer.
I guess you are a true comic because you are unusually hard on yourself. But last time you were here, you were like, yeah, I'm a decent mid-range comic. I'm like, no, you're not. You're a fucking amazing joke writer. What are you talking
thanks.
About?
Well, I'm not that great. I came up with the same My Little Tony joke.
That's what a true comic would latch onto. I don't know. I guess I must be a piece of shit.
Yeah,
I just,
really. What a hack.
What the
I
fuck?
I can't believe I can't think
I mean,
of
I know I didn't know that, and it was a completely different situation, and they two weren't related, but I must have fucked that up
but
somehow.
What do you mean when you say, like, the new comics? Like, who are you, like, comparing to, like, what's the style that...
Well, you guys have a different style. There's like definitely the audiences have never been more attentive and like following you know comedy than I think now through podcasts, which are great, connecting to the fans and all that, and also, you know, I guess the social media and all that kind of stuff. But for me personally, like the rough and ready shows of the past I think are over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more political correctness, there's a lot more boundaries, and I think people are kind of really like selling themselves short. I'm talking about the audience, because hearing rough talk and especially politically incorrect stuff in a comedy setting is really, I think, cleansing almost as a douche would be, where you get it out.
Yeah.
You get the dirty, filthy out. They can laugh at it. They can groan at it.
They
should never get upset about it.
Well, no, because so much of, I mean, I think it's about intent. And if your intent is to hurt people, then of course that sucks. But if your intent is to say, hey, this is basically tragedy therapy. We're coming together and we are looking at things that are normally really horrible to face and trying to gain power over them by making fun of those things and saying, like, hey, it's just all part of the human experience.
Right.
You know, but there's...
That was like most of Carlin's act.
Yeah.
Well, he's the ultimate of pushing this so-called envelope, but also just the guy who I think kind of, you know, he was so good at what he did that, like, he could just see all these different, like, big issues and, like, bear it down to, like, the funniest, most absurd thing.
Yeah.
And really just do it in the most intelligent way. And, like, if you didn't get it, then really you shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been listening, because the guy, like, you never go into a Carlin show, especially towards the later end, where you didn't think, like, this guy's going to bring a lot of social relevant issues into this. Not going to be, you know, like, funny, silly bits or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, for me personally, I enjoy doing stand-up, especially the way where, like, anything can happen. I'm always trying new material, doing all that kind of stuff. It's kind of a weird kind of slap together kind of act, but you know, I do want to make it fresh and new with jokes and just things that are popping out of my head. But I do like when a bit works and I hone it and hone it and hone it down. But today's guys, like, let's take Louis for instance. He's the best we got, and he is great. And he takes his own personal experiences, pain, suffering, and a life, and somehow he connects to this new, whole new audience. And all I can say is that's great. That to me gives me a lot of hope for comedy, for audiences, and just for you know, I guess the experience of the whole live performance. Because if people are going out to see him do what he does, then that's great. It's great for everybody.
Well, sometimes you know, sometimes I think like, oh, I need to be saying more relevant things that are more honest and more, you know, it's because, you know, like,
I just go for funny.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Really,
and then,
that's really my thing.
And then, know? And then when I start writing stuff, I'm like, that's too serious. This is other stuff's really silly and funny. And I tend to fall on that side of it.
Yeah. It's really difficult to decide like what areas you want to go into and like, you know, how much you want the audience. Like you guys do the podcast, so they know you personally. You know, whereas a comic, you're supposed to go up there and kind of basically win them over in the first couple of minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
But now through Twitter and all that kind of stuff, they know you.
Right.
So now it's like they want, you know, they want more of that.
When it's completely
different. You just want to go up there and talk about like whatever, you know, clown fucking or something like that. And they're like, hey, we wanted to hear about that gig you just said you did. You know.
Yeah, that's actually
so
true.
It kind of limits you, and I don't like it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like our live shows, you know, we'll be going up and like doing sets before we do the podcast. And we'll be doing material, but like once we subtly reference something that we said on the podcast before, or we reference each other in our acts, they fucking blow up.
They're just like that's
I like that though.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's the difference of like going to someone that just doesn't know who you are.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you can't go, well, you know, my friend Matt does this.
Yeah,
and no one's gonna go, well, who the fuck is Matt? And who cares?
I'm going back out in December. I'm doing Zanies in Nashville and then Chicago and then Bloomington in January at the Comedy Attic. And it's mainly just to cobble together this new hour of material. And I don't know who's gonna show up to these shows. Like what's kind of exciting about it is I remember when I started headlining, you know, a handful of years ago, and I went out and I realized not only did I not have an hour, but I didn't have in the material within that was too like LA, New York centric.
Yeah.
And I'd get out to the middle of the country and be like, I think I only really have about 20 minutes, 22 minutes. And then, so it forced me to go into the crowd and like, because I just had not, otherwise
exactly.
I just would have been staring at them for 40
like
minutes.
Well, like battle pay, you know, because you guys did start out here and like you guys are kind of, you know, like I started in the open mics clubs and then we went out on the road for a long time. Like,
yeah.
Really like just like one-offs, you know, weekends.
That's
clubs.
The best way to do it.
And that's really like the way you do it. But I would say that like some guys are like smug about like, you know, these guys aren't really, it's like you guys, that, there's a lot of ways to do it. And one of the ways that people want it done is to connect to your fan base. And like if you guys have this podcast and people listen to it, they want to hear all that kind of stuff. But you as a comic also want to talk about
jokes,
other things.
Yeah.
Because like you're not like, you know, this isn't like a Garrison Keillor kind of, you know, home prairie companion thing. You know, it's like, now I'm going to tell you a story about the, you know, bow-legged boy with the banjo. You remember this one, you know, you can, yeah, exactly. So, you know, as a comic, you always want to be bringing new stuff and kind of the edge, you know, like the excitement of the bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I would say that, yeah, being on the road all those years are great training for like the unexpectable. And I like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, there is, you know, at the core of it, we're there's still this sort of like comedy animal inside, and you want to, the hunt is really fun where you, where, I mean, obviously it's not fun if a bunch of drunk people or a bachelorette party completely, you know, like fucks the show up,
but part of it too,
but also like being able to stretch those muscles and exercise that and remind yourself like, oh yeah, I can pretty much roll with whatever happens on stage and still be able to pull the show back in and, and be able to maintain the shows. That's a really fun thing to be able to do.
Well, there used to be a term called like the road comic, where it's like the guy who just like hit club after club after club. He lived in his car and he would just go to the club. You know, he's always the guy doing the laundry, you know, doing his laundry. Like, hey, what's up, dude? And he'd be doing his laundry in the sink while, you know, you're on stage. And it's like that's kind of over because pretty much people can set up through Facebook, whatever, a show somewhere so that their audience is there and, that, you know, they kind of go to that. So for the new comics, I mean, like, that's kind of a cool way to do it. But the wild card of, like, whoa, nobody told me this was going to be a Civil War reenactor reunion party show, you know? dude, well, you know, we got to make some money here at the club, you know, and we got these people on Groupon, and now you got to perform to them. That those things are also good for stretching that muscle that you're talking about and kind of making you think outside of your comfort zone, you know?
I had to do a few years ago, I used to do a cartoon for Nickelodeon, and Nickelodeon sent me on these cruises, these Nickelodeon cruises, where I would basically just go sign, like, as my character or whatever. They're like, oh, free cruise, you know, went to Mexico, and then on the East Coast went.
Who was on the cruise, though? Kids?
Families and kids, and then just a few of the other, like Tom Kenny, a few of the other Nickelodeon people. And so they said, hey, you should do stand-up one of the nights. And I was like, all right, why not? I've never done a cruise ship before. I'll try it.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be great because all the parents were so kitted out.
They needed something.
They needed some, like,
release.
They needed, and so, but there were two shows, and so I did the first show, and I got through it, and then everyone stayed in their seats for the second show, and I basically did, I couldn't do any of the same material, and I just had to go into the crowd for an hour, and I was terrified, but it was one of those split-second decisions, and I'm so glad I did, because I got through it, and it was kind of fun, and not all of it went great, but it didn't matter, because it was just I don't know, it was really neat.
Well, you know, on the high seas, anything goes. I think we can say that. Whether it's a Nickelodeon cruise or an oil rig. I'm going to use the two opposite ends of a sea adventure there. But you know what's cool? I want to do a porn cruise. I think that would be great, of retro porn people. On an old garbage scow, kind of like an old rusty bucket. And then, you know, it'd be kind of cool. The fans could come, and then the porn stars could come, and then we could do our filthy, dirty acts, and everybody would love it.
You can call it a boobs cruise.
What would you call it?
Boobs cruise.
The boobs cruise. That would be great. On the let's think of some more nautical terms for it.
Sure.
Instead of the aloha deck, the you know, reach around something.
Do you want me to come leeward, or?
Yeah, exactly. Any seamen in the audience?
Hey,
there you go. I'm sorry.
Who's gonna be the rear admiral?
I don't know. I think on the poop deck.
Yep. See, there you go, guys. Now we're thinking.
Hey, is the engine room and you're in your vagina? Because there's a lot of semen there vagina.
Right,
the boat has
a wrong. A maybe bush. It's a bus trip.
Look at the thick bush on this boat.
Maybe it's a monorail that I rent. And yeah, but I think that would be fun.
The porn monorail.
Yeah, nobody really uses the monorail as what it should be, as fun.
Yeah.
Excitement and fun.
Nope, they don't at all.
Or as I call it, fancy train.
It is a fancy train.
Theme parks and airports.
So, guys, I don't know how much longer we have, but I'm having a great time, and thank you for helping me get the word out.
When is the porn show air?
It airs Thursdays on Showtime at 11 o'clock, guys. This is game time now, 11 o'clock, guys. We're going head to head against some of the hottest shows on TV, and we're holding our own. We're doing all right, okay? But let's face it, you know, you got to back it up. That's why we have the Twitter, @oldporn, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Tweet it out, guys. And then davesoldporn.com, that's my site.
Okay.
All right? Backing it up with the site. And that's cool because we have clips up there. We're going to have links to some great old porn, what the porn stars are up to, plus the comics, you know, their tour dates and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of great stuff that never makes the air. I'm hoping to put that on there eventually.
So I'll tell you what, I will put this podcast up this week just knowing that your show is airing now.
Oh, thank you.
And so I'll put it up Wednesday. So tell us about your Thanksgiving episode. So people are going to have, they're going to spend Thanksgiving with their families. They're going to go into a turkey coma and they're going to be like, oh, porn. Now I have a boner. What do I do?
Okay. Well, first of all, this is a special holiday. That's why I put together this amazing special show, which somehow seemed to land on this date. Because you never know what showtime. Anyway, they ran out of Homelands. So they're like, Dave, what can you do?
No more Homelands. It's an expensive Dane, show.
By the way, that is a great show. I think there's a crossover aspect to it. You know, the Homeland and the porn.
Yeah.
All right. Either way... it's a holiday, Thanksgiving, and we're going to roll out one of our best shows with some of our best people. Amy Schumer, the amazing,
hilarious,
super funny Amy Schumer, you know, from the Comedy Central roast, just great. And, you know, we're both from Long Island. She's on tour with us now on the Antisocial tour. She's done a couple shows with me, Jim Norton, and Artie Lang. And Amy and I will be watching what I consider a holiday classic, Debbie Does Dallas, the first porn that a lot of guys ever see. And I think it's a crossover porn. It's as relevant now as it was when it was made in the 1970s. It's about youth. It's about money. It's about the economy. Debbie needs money to go to a cheerleading contest in Texas. She wants to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader or something like that, or whatever they said so that they wouldn't get sued.
Yep.
And she has to, her and her friends have to get jobs, right? Now it's about the economy. People want jobs. And they all have to blow and suck their way through some of these half-ass setups to, you know, make it. Was that, did you just drop that?
No, no, you accidentally hit the button, so I just, I caught it really fast.
I'm old school radio. I thought we were doing AM here. So anyway, it's a holiday classic. You guys should check it out. And I would say it's probably one of the top, I put it on my top 1 million porns ever made.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's really
high discerning. Praise from
and
David.
It's Thursday at 11?
Thursday at 11. And Amy will be there with Robert Kerman or Arbola, who is the man who actually gets to bang Debbie in the Debbie Does Dallas. So he kind of is the guy who lives every fantasy for dudes like me and all that kind of stuff.
I don't think I ever actually saw Debbie Does Dallas.
You've never seen it?
No, I saw Deep Throat, but I never saw Debbie Does Dallas.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't have a reason.
Are you anti-football or something?
I am, actually, so maybe that's what it is.
Well, there's a hilarious moment in the film where you see, like, the porn stars are actually pretending to be on this team, so they're actually huddling up and, like, throwing the football, and you realize how, like, lame they are. It's so funny.
Actually, so you're saying porn stars should not go into the NFL?
Well, yeah, it was just funny to see, like, you know, there actually a lot of acting is going on in this film, or overacting, or underacting, or just bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like, whoa, this is horrible. Let's get to the shower scene.
Where did people? So in the 70s, you really just had to go to a theater to watch porn.
I assume so. I don't remember my parents taking me, but come on, kids, we're going to be late. It's a double feature. Debbie Does Dallas and Deep Throat.
One adult and two kids for Debbie Does.
One adult and a psychiatrist for my son here. But yeah, I think you had to go to the theater. This played in the theater. And it also was like one of the ones that really kind of blew up the porn industry. It was like because it was a feature.
It's, you know, it's
like
funny.
90 minutes long.
You go to, when you go to San Francisco and you go to like the Columbus, and then it's just like all the old porn theater. It's like one of the last few places in America where that culture is slightly intact and not completely run down.
Right. San Francisco used to be like the heart of it, like New York, like when you always see those old things of like Times Square. But they used to have like the Mitchell Brothers Theater. They do have that still, but they used to show like Full Tilt Porn there. The Mercury Theater or whatever it is. That used to be a place where you could actually go in and, you know, squeeze one out, raincoat crowd kind of style, you know.
Raincoat crowd.
Like whatever, Pee Wee Herman style. But I guess those are gone now. I really don't know where they have those theaters. I really would like to buy one.
There was one on... There might still be a gay one on Santa Monica Boulevard, Tomcat Theater.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's right near the Pleasure Chest.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
Yeah, yeah.
No, now it's just a dancing. Now it's a live show. It was, though, like up until about...
No. They screen at 9 and 11 o'clock on Friday nights, and if you go, they give you like a pop...
The best thing I ever saw on the marquee.
Thank you, Dave.
There was a double feature there on the marquee. I was driving by.
Thank you.
My favorite movie titles I saw were Sweet Homo Alabama. Mm. And then on the other side, just one word, exclamation point at the end, sword fight.
I like sword fight. I like the name sword fight.
Yeah.
It's not a play in anything. No, it's just sword fight.
That's it all.
I think that's how it starts, too. It's just two guys walking in Highlander style, and then they just go, start fight!
Now, if you put an exclamation point at the end of anything, does that make it a gay porn? Pastry chef! Exclamation point. Exactly. Oh, must be a gay porn.
Now, we have some retro gay porn, I guess you could say, but I'm trying to ease the audience into it, so we're just showing a little bit at the end of the season. So hopefully we'll go full tilt sword fight if we keep going further. And I think it's about time. Because the retro cruising gay porn, look how uncomfortable everybody is.
No.
Not uncomfortable at all. I was thinking about my friend, Selena, who one time, like her gay friend, just like, he's like, popped into gay porn when they were hanging out. And she couldn't stop talking about it for a week. She's like, it's so violent. It's like they're just spitting in each other's faces and mouths. And they're not slapping each other. They're punching each other.
Because dudes can knock each other around,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, so this their rough sex is just a bit. Porn. It's not, you know, it's fucking really aggressive.
And you know what's really cool? All of the gay stereotypes in porn, because of like how we're becoming a cooler country where things are accepted and all that kind of stuff, are no longer like, it's like weird to see in a porn, like the cowboy and the sailor. It's like they would never be gay. Yeah, they are gay. And it's like, it's okay. It's totally cool. You know? I thought that was good. That was pretty progressive of me.
That was very progressive of you. You're very open-minded, Dave.
You deserve a lot of cultural credit for what you just said. That's going to totally make up for some politically incorrect thing that you say in the club.
Exactly.
And then when people complain, you're going to be like, but do you remember when I said that other thing?
Yeah. That's also...
balance.
That's an excellent point where you're like, okay, well, I said something incredibly filthy, politically incorrect. Now I'm going to, like, win the crowd back with some Taco Bell humor or something else, like something like, you know, the whatchamacallit, like, you know, hey, guys, like me.
Yeah. Now, do you, when you're planning out, when you're working on your next hour, is there kind of a general... How much of it is premeditated in terms of like, well, here's some thematic things I want to explore, and how much is like, well, these are a bunch of funny things and I just strung them together.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Chris. That's why I brought my notebook here.
Good.
See,
I like
I'm an older comic, so I use the smaller notebook now.
Yep.
Because I don't find as many things funny. So I'm using this little one.
The size of your notebook gets smaller the older you get.
Here we go. Ready? This is in the mind of madness now.
Okay, here we go.
Doorknobs. All right?
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Just a bit.
They are weird.
Piss on my grave.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've tried it a couple different attempts. I'm still trying to find the funny angle.
The movie or the saying?
No, not the movie. Just the saying, I'm going to piss on your grave.
Yeah. No,
really such an empty threat because you're already dead.
Yeah.
And like, how many people actually like, unless somebody is really like way like going to be younger than you, like how do you know?
But if you're a self-loathing comic, the horror movie is I piss on my grave.
I piss on my own grave.
Yeah, I piss on my own grave.
It's a fountain that comes up from its own grave and lands.
Or
lands
just right for the gay porn, piss with a big exclamation
point.
Okay, iPhone theft. Oh wait, that's been done. All right, I was trying to be cool with the kids. iPhone something. Okay, upgrade something. No, here's one. Printers don't get as much attention as computers, huh?
That's right.
Tech savvy?
That's right. Now you mean actual printers in a print shop with the hats on that run the machines?
No. See, there's so many different ways to take it.
Yeah, fuck.
No, I was thinking like nobody ever gets excited. They come over your house. Whoa, you got a inkjet blah, blah, blah.
Wait, it's also a fax machine?
Yes.
What a golden age.
What's this giant thing here?
Wait. Oh, you're telling me I can copy something on this as well?
I think it's more, you still use paper?
Yeah. What is it? You have your own magazine?
I'm sorry, a zine?
And then cigarettes. That's all I have. So, like I said, it's very vague right now, but we're working through it. But I would tell you definitely, it's cool to get the ideas, bring them out on the stage.
You got 10 hostess minutes here on this show already. What are you talking about?
Dude, that's our bit. We all worked on it
together.
Well,
then we're going to travel together and perform as a foursome.
We should. We should all dress up as a different, no longer available hosted, like, and here comes Ho-Ho, and then one of us walks out and tells the most filthy, dirty...
Quadraphonic comedy.
There you go.
Myra Tell Hardwick.
It's cool when you get to travel with other comics because then, like, you know, it's like you're feeding off. And, like, when I'm with Norton and Artie Lang, it's great because we're, like, all old, dirty, bitter, fucking, can I say the F-bomb?
Yeah.
Jaded men. So it's excellent. It's, like, just, like, they call it, like, the blue collar. This is, like, the, you know, oh, my God, what happened?
Yeah.
You know,
that's the stained collar comedy tour.
Exactly. it's just,
no,
like,
collar.
I call it... waiting in the emergency room late at night tour. That's what we all look like. Just sad white men.
What are you here for?
The poster, just you guys.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Did they make it?
Yeah.
Am I going to make it?
Am I going to be
all
right?
Is she going to be okay?
Yeah.
What's your relation to her? I got to go.
It's my niece. But, dude, if you're out on tour, I can't wait to see it, man, because I know, you guys all, like, I saw my man here at the Comedy Meltdown, and he rocked out.
Oh, yeah, that's such a fun show.
Thanks.
Was that just the other night?
That was, last Wednesday.
That's a great show, man.
Thanks, man.
I'm glad I got to be a part of that.
No, I'm glad, too. It's really fun to do. I actually just realized our show, I'm going to be on TV up against your Dave's Old Porn episode. Yeah, I know.
What are you on?
Mashup.
You're on Mashup?
I'm on Mashup.
I don't know.
So Thursdays at 11.
Oh, man.
And my episode is this week.
Can I tell you what, though? Particularly if you live on the East Coast, you probably, live on the West Coast, you probably get the East Coast Comedy Central feed. You could watch your show at 8, which would be East Coast 11, and then watch Dave's
That's
show.
That's true. Or you could DVR both, or because Dave's Old Porn is also, it's on demand on Showtime.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how I catch up on them.
Well, that's cool. Now, Mashup, I've never seen the show, but I've heard a lot about it. That's TJ Miller's show, right?
Yeah, TJ really and Jordanville Roberts, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So you guys get to do whatever you want, right? You do stand-up, you do sketches.
You do stand-up, and then
They do these visualizations.
They pick the bits they want to do visualizations of.
And then they shoot. Mashup! Now, I wouldn't mind dressing up as an old guy in overalls going, looks like a mashup!
That should be the bumper between
Yeah, you need a bumper. One heck of a mashup.
See, you will be right back with more murder.
And then I'll slap a pig on the ass. Wee, wee, wee. He'll run off.
You need to be there in overalls, like in a shed with two giant forks.
Yes.
And then just a pile of mashed potatoes and it's spilling out of your mouth. And you're just like, you look up, mashup!
And then I'll just do a bunch of meth, and I'll run off, and I'll bite the cameraman.
I want a little circle that pops up in the corner. Oh, there's a mashup right there.
What's the matter, Puddin'? I need me a mashup.
Then all of a sudden, the mashup show just gets longer and longer with that bit, and there's no stand-up.
I love that title. When I said that, I was like, this is going to be good.
Mashing up.
You gotta take it, you gotta trash it, you gotta class it, and then you gotta mash it.
Well, David Tell, it is wonderful to have you on.
I'm sure they would have loved to have you.
If you do a bit about doing that, then you could do the visualization.
But you already did Pulp Comics.
I don't know if you guys know this, but like, no one ever really talks about printers. And
oh my God, I was just thinking about that a few minutes ago.
And then you pop up from the 80s.
You pop up from the, like the guy comes up and is like, oh, it looks like a mashup coming. And then I pop up down, the guy keeps on continuing the bit. Oh, it's getting close now.
I'll heckle myself, what kind of a mashup was that?
It prints out, and it takes like 4 minutes to print out this full color print of you going, mashup! It's just extended release.
I love it.
Well, thanks for coming on, David.
Anytime you're in LA,
you're welcome to come back on the show. So it's good to see you.
Did you say that under your breath? Like,
I'm sorry, what?
Thanks for having me, guys. I love your show, and you guys are so cool to me. And, of course, the porn community, we love you guys.
Go see David Tell on the road. Where can people find your dates?
Just go to the DavesOnPorn.com site. We're going to have dates up there. We're also going to have clips from the shows, clips from clips and pics and all kinds of stuff behind the scenes.
Clits and pits.
Yeah, we're going to have all kinds of great shit. And then at Old Porn, that's the best way to follow it. You'll see we'll be out on the road and all that kind of stuff. But to all you guys, I will see you in the clubs. And hopefully one day we'll get to all do a show.
That'll be fun. I would love to.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy a burrito. Enjoy your porny puby burrito.
Oh, I missed it. Can I hang? No.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're really...
I missed it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly crying.
Lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.